The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouths of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, the whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned from them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Declares the Lord. I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets, who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams, that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has dreamt a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking toward to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against your daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against your mother-in-law. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. Grace, you in peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we read or hear a text like today's, I wonder what we hear. My general impression is that we fall into four groups. One group hears it, but doesn't really hear. It conflicts with the message of the angels on Christmas. It doesn't sound like the Jesus of Sunday school and most sermons. So it's in one ear and out the other. A second group hears it and is a bit unsettled by it, but instead of privately, passively letting it disappear, they actively decide that this can't be the real Jesus, that we'll keep the angelic choirs of peace on earth, goodwill towards men, because we like the little baby Jesus. The third way is that reactionary opposite, that this is the real Jesus. Apocalyptic prophet, fire and judgment, would that it was already condemned. All of those are understandable responses. But I don't think that any of them are part of the trial or the call of faith. They all line up with vain hopes of the prophets of Jeremiah, speaking visions of their own minds. I don't like hearing this, so I don't. Or I don't like it, so I preach nothing but no disaster shall come upon you. Or, I like it too much. It's only when we're willing to stand in the council, chase the deceits of our own hearts out, and to break the rocky heart to pieces that we receive the wheat. So, to that end, let's ponder it slowly. I came to cast fire upon the earth, and were that it was already kindled. What does Jesus mean by that? The greatest connection is the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Moses, a long time ago, longed that all of Israel would be like him, like Eldad and Medad, full of the Spirit, prophesying in the camp. Jesus himself would long that his own disciples would understand what he was teaching. Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me? He lamented. Jesus came to bring knowledge of the Father, and he came that we might understand the love that the Father has for us. And the flesh alone cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Not without the fire of the Holy Spirit abiding in us. It's that fire, it's that Holy Spirit that Jesus would cast upon the earth. That Spirit that we might hear and turn from our evil ways and live. But that time was not yet when he spoke these words. And it was not yet because Jesus himself had a baptism to be baptized with. A baptism that caused him great distress until it was finished. And that would be the better word for this translation, to hear the connection with the cross. It is finished. Jesus had already been baptized with us in the Jordan, that baptism of repentance. The sinless one who didn't need it stood for us. As the baptismal liturgy has it, making all waters a blessed flood, washing away our sin. But because he stood for us, he also had the baptism of blood, so that the Spirit could come down and reside in us, cleansed by that baptism. He had to give the last and most precious sacrifice there. In Gethsemane, his distress was as drops of blood, but Jesus walked that sorrowful path for us, and it is finished. Satan is defeated, and the Spirit has been poured out. So why the next line? Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Why the apparent break with those angels of Christmas? The promise of Christmas, or of those angels, was peace with God. In that child, in the work of Jesus, we have peace with heaven. It was not then, and never has been, a general peace on the earth. It's never just an acceptance of the way things are. It was always an invitation to repent and to enter into the peace of the Father. It was and is the promise of absolution. Of all the kingdoms of this earth becoming the kingdom of our Lord. And of the kingdom of heaven coming down to us. This earth is passing away in that fire of the Spirit. But do you think that all of those kingdoms and the powers that be that reside behind them just pass away easily? No. There's a division. Even more importantly, is the choice easy or obvious? No. Because that division passes through each and every heart. Do we hold on to our own vain hopes? Do we stubbornly follow our hearts? Or do we let the word break our hard hearts and replace it with a true heart? The proclamation is clear. The word is true. Christ has brought peace. The Spirit testifies to this, but we must receive it in faith. And nobody can do that for us. Just because Dad holds the faith doesn't mean the son. A daughter might hear that word and repent, but the mother turn away, like Lot's wife. This is the division of the age. Those who accept the peace of the coming kingdom, and those who cling to these ones. So, in the midst of this ongoing division, what is our calling? And that's what Hebrews has told us so clearly over the last couple of weeks, but sums it up this way today. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. In Christ, we have that absolution and we have peace. Put down that sin. They're no longer ours to carry. Jesus has carried them all right there on that cross. Do you have some worry? Take it to Jesus in prayer. Is there some besetting sin? Petition the Spirit to remove that thorn. Yes, they cling closely, they burrow in, but they don't divide us from God. Not anymore. Because He's declared peace with us through the work of Jesus. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Christ has not saved us, has not given us peace just to lay around, nor to store up our stuff in bigger barns, nor to multiply the sin because grace would then increase. No, we've been saved by His grace to walk in the good works that He has planned. To run the race. Maybe the thorn is not removed. Paul's wasn't. But the grace of God was enough to endure. Abram, without having seen Jesus, believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. Moses went from prince of Egypt to murderer fleeing to being called to go back and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Each of our callings are different, but let us run them and run them with endurance so that we do not turn aside from the way. And looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. We follow the crucified. In this divided world, we ourselves can expect no different. But when the world presses on us, this is our joy. We have been chosen to exemplify Christ, to bear witness to this old earth. We're divided 2 against 3 and 3 against 2 in the most personal ways possible. We are divided by the world, but we always have His offer of peace. Come and see. You don't have to war against God anymore. Today is the time of that rolling division. It's also the time of that grace. It's that very offer of the grace of God. It's the proclamation of the word that causes that division. but it will not always be a day of division. The great cloud of witnesses one day will descend with that new Jerusalem. No longer clouds, but more real than anything we've ever known. The church, today divided by a multitude of ways, physical by schism and heresy, spiritual by saints at rest and those of us still striving. Today, we experience that division. But soon, the peace of God shall reign over his united. Today, the kingdom of heaven is hidden in individual hearts. Tomorrow, it'll be made evident. Today, like Job, our families might be divided. Tomorrow, when everything is finished, our full spiritual family will be known and be restored. Today, we labor through these divisions. Tomorrow, we rest in unity with Christ. Amen.